your daily fix of women's mixed martial arts from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. Be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix on women's MMA with Got You Covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Right now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate.
And I'm your other host, Sarah.
Wow, you just jumped in there just like...
I know, I did it on purpose this time because I never know, so I wasn't going to wait on you today.
Well, I'm your host, Tate, and I have Sarah with me.
I'm your host, Sarah, and today I've brought my special guest, Tate.
Holla. So, Miss Sarah.
Yes, Mr.
We
Tate.
Haven't been on for a couple of weeks, and yep. There's been a lot of things going on.
So much going on.
So, we're going to jump into it, but I say we start off with this past weekend's fight.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
What was it?
Well, this last weekend's fight was between Alexa Grasso, who did not make weight, and Randa Markos. It was UFC Fight Night in Mexico.
Now, you and I watched that together. What was your thoughts on the fight?
I thought it was a pretty good fight. I mean, it was close. It was obviously close. We seem to agree, if I'm remembering correctly, that it was about rounds one and two. It was 1-1, and then the third round, it was very close. I think Randa was extremely disappointed that Alexa won.
You know, I personally thought that Alexa lost. I know she was saying, you know, there are some people that think that there's kind of like some home cooking because it was in our home, Alexa Grasso's home country.
Right.
But it was a really close fight. I can't be really mad at the decision because, I mean, it could have easily been scored either way.
Right. It was very close. And, I mean, had it been obvious that, you know, if it was like 3-10-8 rounds and they still, and Alexa still won, then we could say, yeah, that was definitely favoritism. But it was very close. I'm not sure how exactly I would have scored it.
Yeah, I definitely scored it a close fight. You know what, though, as a whole, I was not looking forward to seeing this card. It's rare that there's a UFC event that I'm like, I could just skip this one.
You know, somebody else I heard was talking about that recently. Also.
Oh, really?
They were saying that on paper, they were like, meh. And then they watched it and they thought,
it was a
wow.
There was, you know, as a matter of fact, I would go as far as when I first looked at the card, I'm like, this could be one of the worst cards in the last couple of years.
But how many first round knockouts did they have?
I think it was seven first round. Every fight was, it was just, if you were a UFC fan, this was a really great card. And not one of the fights disappointed. And this strawweight fight with Alexa Grasso and again,
Randa Markos.
I thought that was the best fight of the night. I mean, it was a close, well fought fight. So it was just a great card.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, the next question is: now that Alexa has won, what's next for Alexa Grasso?
Because she lost her last fight,
right?
Which was her debut, and then she won this fight.
But see, the thing about her is, I mean, she's been a great fighter in Invicta for a long time. I would like to, and there's been talk, and I think this is a great fight to make. Since she came from Invicta, and she's kind of making that move up. Her next opponent, I think, should be Angela Hill. Angela Hill, former strawweight champion, and Invicta. Really, I you know, both of them are now in the UFC. Both of them, you know, they initially had a loss, but both of those guys are going to be very competitive.
Now, refresh my memory before you go into this. So, Angela Hill came over to the UFC and lost, right, in her debut, and then she went back to Invicta?
No, she did not.
She did not go back to Invicta?
No, she
okay.
stayed.
Okay.
Yeah, she vacated the title and she came over to the UFC.
Okay.
But she was the current Invicta champion at the time when she came over.
Right.
So I think this would be a really good matchup because I think both of these guys would be really competitive. Alexa Grasso has a lot of, I mean, she throws a lot of great like combinations. They're both great strikers. So I think this would be the perfect matchup for these two guys.
Okay.
So, and then when you look at this division as a whole, and you know, right now both of these guys are out of the top 10 when you're starting to look at who's, you know, who's the contenders in this division right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look around and you say number 10 is Cynthia Calvillo. I never can say her last name right, even though she is just spectacular. I don't even know if that's the right word to use.
We're actually going to talk about her a little bit later on, too.
I'm kind of always open to talk about her.
Okay.
Then you have number 9 is Courtney Casey. Michelle Waterson is number 8. Carla Esparza is number 7. Tisha Torres is 6. Rose Namajunas, who most likely will be fighting Joanna Jędrzejczyk next.
Yes.
And then from here, we have
Karolina Kovačević.
That's at number 4.
Jessica Andrade. Claudia Gadelha at 2.
And Claudia, I mean, I feel for Claudia. Claudia, I think, is just the best fighter in that division, not named Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
We talked about this a little bit the last episode. Is that they you know, need to what's make... she going to do? Just keep fighting and losing to Joanna once a year?
I think they should just make like this Brazilian championship belt just to give her. Or I have another suggestion, but we'll talk about that at a later date. And then, of course, Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the two fighters, that's why both of these guys are kind of outside of the top 10. But it would be a great fight between Alexa Grasso and Angela Hill as far as the winner that would start to kind of creep into that top 10 area. So that's why I think it's kind of a good matchup. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I agree. I think they're fairly evenly matched in terms of their skill sets and ranking. So I think it would be, I mean, they're both very interesting fighters. They're not boring.
No, it would not be a boring fight. My only thing is like Alexa Grasso, I would like to see her. I wish the UFC would create a women's atomweight division because even though she missed weight and she had a medical reason for it, she's really an atom weight in my book.
Right.
And I would really like to see the UFC create an atom weight division because there is a need. And there's some really great fighters that are currently straw weights that would go down to atom weight. And there's some amazing atom weights that would come into the UFC. So... And Alexa Grasso is one of those fighters that I think would do better as a atom weight. I also think Michelle Waterson would do better as an atom weight as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that concludes. You got anything else you're
going to
say?
Actually, I was just going to segue. You'd given me the perfect. We were talking about the rankings, and we'd brought up Cynthia Calvillo, and we had brought up a couple other people, and we were talking earlier about some of the fights that might be coming up and people calling other people out, and Cynthia Calvillo has actually said, do you want to say it or do you want me to?
I have no clue what you're about to say.
Wow, how quickly you forget our pre-show conversation.
I was trying to grab food. I really wasn't listening.
So Cynthia Calvillo says that she thinks that she could actually take on Joanna. So it's she's number 10 right now, and Ioana, of course, is number 1. So what do you think about that matchup? It's not a matchup that's happening, but it's a matchup that...
See, I personally think that matchup's going to happen sooner than later. And the reason why that is when you start looking at the rankings and you look at who's left, you know, she's already fought Claudia. She's already Jesse Andrade. She just brought Karolina Kovacic. She's most likely fighting Rose Namajunas next. That's your top five there.
She's saying that she wants to fight, or she thinks if she were to fight Carla Esparza or Michelle Waterson, that would help move her into title contention.
Oh, and I love that. I love that that Michelle Waterson fight. That would be a really interesting fight. I think there would be, you know, I think Michelle Waterson would have a huge advantage on the stand-up game. But on the ground, I don't think there's anyone that's other than Claudia Gadelha. I don't think there's anyone in the division that can match up with Carvia on the ground.
So do you think that Claudia and Cynthia Calvillo should fight and we should see how that works and see what their grappling skills?
No, I would stay away from that fight altogether. One, for Cynthia, there's really no advantage. I think she's one or two fights away from getting a title shot. That's a really dangerous fight. But I do like the Carla Esparza fight as an option there. And one of the things I just love the saying that she said when she talked about how, you know, when she's on the mat, she feels like she's a shark in water. She feels so comfortable and at home. And I'll tell you what, the one person, the only time I've ever seen a chink in Ioana's armor was when Claudia Gadelha took her down the very first time they fought. That's the only time I've ever really seen her where I was kind of concerned about her. And so when I think about the fact that Cynthia Calvillo, she's a real threat. She's one of the few people that I think can be a true threat to Ioana.
If she can get her on the ground.
That's if, and I tell you what, Ioana's, you know, she stops takedowns like nobody's business. She's that consummate professional. She's always on point. You're not going to catch her slipping.
You had mentioned the other day when we were talking about this that you think that if that fight were to happen, that Ioana would need to mimic the fight between Tyron Woodley
and Damian Maia.
I could only think of Tyson. I knew that wasn't right.
It was
Woodley.
Definitely not Tyson.
I know that.
You know, and I know a lot of people were very upset about that Damian Maia Tyron Woodley fight, but I thought Tyron Woodley fought the perfect fight for fighting someone as dangerous as Damian Maia.
It was an incredibly smart fight.
Yes, I mean, exactly.
Very intelligent, very well thought out strategy, but it wasn't quote unquote exciting because, you know, they didn't go to the ground. There wasn't just, you know, massive, well, beating the snot out of each other.
Yeah. But I think that would be the smart way to fight her, Cynthia Carvillo, because on stand up, there would be I don't care how long she trains, she's not going to match up standing up with Ioana. So her only shot would be to take Ioana down, and I think she's very dangerous with that. And so I think, it's an interesting fight there if that could if that fight actually happened. But you know, right now we're talking about maybe her and Michelle Waterson or Carvillo and Carla Esparza up next.
Right. It's not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, obviously, but it'll be interesting. Anything could happen between now and then, you know, maybe some fluke happens. I don't know. Hell freezes over and Ioana loses to somebody else.
You know, well, I tell you what, when you start looking at this whole situation and everything leans to, you know, Thug Rose getting her title shot. Rose is tough. I will never bet against Joanna, but if there's anyone that has that's tough and gritty enough to change to make this fight uncomfortable, it would be Rose. That's fight that I don't think it would not be a boring fight. Rose versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk hasn't been announced yet, but that it seems like everything points to that's the next fight. So okay. So wrapping that part up, we kind of went around the bend a few.
Well, we just sort of went around the division.
Well, and that's the whole point of that was to, you know, just kind of take a look at the strawweight division.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the week before this, there was another fight in which we talked about this before that Chris Cyborg versus
Tonya Evinger.
And Chris Cyborg won the featherweight title. And so what do we have about Chris Cyborg?
Well,
now?
Are we going to take a break and talk about it when we come back? Am I teasing what we're going to talk about?
Yes, we are.
Okay, just checking. So we're going to talk about who Chris Cyborg thinks she needs to fight next and who thinks she can take down Chris Cyborg. They are not the same person.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. We got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Alright, we're back, and we just got done talking about the strawweight division, and now we're going to go and talk about some Cyborg.
Did you want to touch
the cybernetic division.
Did you want to touch briefly on the Cyborg-Tonya Evinger fight, since we did not do a show that weekend? I mean,
yes.
It's old news, but...
It's, you know... They're two fighters that have deserved to be in the UFC for a long time. And, you know, when I look at the fight and I say, okay, hey, you're going to come to the UFC. So there's big jitters just coming to the UFC. Then we're going to make you fight on a short notice. You're not going to fight in your own weight division. And even though short fight, short notice, short training camp, first fight in UFC, we're going to make you fight Cyborg.
But she's always said she'd be willing to fight Cyborg.
Well, she proved that point.
And she didn't do bad. I mean,
actually,
you know,
she did better than anyone. She did better than anyone. You know, they talk about, I forget the other lady's name that made it further. Tonya came to fight. Tonya did the best she could. She had a game plan. Cyborg was just too big, too strong. And, you know, and Tonya just couldn't really get her game plan off.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen this fight with Tonya having a full camp, but I do think, unfortunately, it would have been the same or similar outcome. I think Tonya could have made it a little bit more uncomfortable for Cyborg, but Cyborg is just a little too much.
Well, and even Tonya said she just didn't realize how big Cyborg is. I mean, you know, because obviously she's walking around at a different weight than what she weighs in at.
Tonya, I mean, Cyborg is barely able to make make weight as it is, as a featherweight. So when by the time she hydrates back up, she is a very big, strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot to deal with. But the right person who I think they should have, the UFC should have came out right out the gate when they had Ronda Rousey fight, her first time when they gave Ronda Rousey the title, they should have just said, here's our strawweight champion, here's our featherweight champion, and just brought them both in at the exact same time. I think that would have been the best decision, because it's kind of a shame that all, you know, a number of years have passed and Cyborg has, you know, been elsewhere other than the UFC when she is clearly the best fighter in mixed martial arts. And I will say that I don't think there's anyone that can match up with her if they get in a ring with her.
Well, she finally has her belt. So, I mean, that's, she can feel good about that, which is what she's been looking forward to, what she's been shooting for.
I'm hoping, see, the one thing I am excited about is the fact that Tanya finally gets to go. She's not going to go back to Invicta. She's going to stay in the UFC. She gets a couple of fights in the bantamweight division. And I think there's going to be a lot of girls in trouble in that bantamweight division because people do not realize how tough Tanya is. Tanya doesn't look tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard a lot of, not a lot, but I heard people commenting on that Tanya's body didn't look like a fighter's body. Tanya is just rough. She's just a normal, just tough fighter, tough, gritty fighter. And I think she's going to shock a lot of people. Cause anyone in that bantamweight division against Tanya, I would give Tanya a chance against any of them. And that includes Amanda Nunes. I think Tanya can give Amanda Nunes a fight. I think Tanya can beat anyone in that division with the right circumstances. That's just my take when it comes to Tanya. So what do we have with Cyborg?
So Cyborg has her belt now. And, you know, as she always does, she's always looking to the next fight. She's always looking forward. And she says that she, if offered, would be very willing to fight Holly Holm.
Now, the Holly Holm fight, it's been offered to Holly a couple of times, and Holly has been open to fighting her, but I don't really feel like Holly really wants that fight.
Well, this was just Cyborg saying that if asked, she would be willing to fight, and she'd be willing to do that at UFC 218, which is the one that's in Detroit. But this isn't, you know, I have nothing solid, and I don't have any quote
right
or thoughts from Holly.
Right, but you know, I know that Holly has passed on that fight before, but they have to do something because they don't have, you know, I don't know what's going on with Megan, and so you're not going to have Jermaine Geranimi fight her.
Right.
So the most likely candidate for fighting her next would be Holly Holm. I think that's the fight that they kind of have to make.
Holly's what, sixth? Ranked sixth right now?
Right? But that's in the bantamweight division. In the featherweight division.
Right,
yeah,
right.
In the featherweight division.
The featherweight division kind of doesn't exist.
They don't really have a
right
ranking for that division
now. How can they? There's... It's like Chris Cyborg.
Yes, it's like, hi, you know, up next. So, you know, so right now, Holly, I think, would be the best potential candidate. There's another person who is just taking care of some health issues, but also thinks that she should be a contender. Who is that?
Yes, so Kat Zingano has recently said that she thinks that she could fight and win against against Chris Cyborg.
Alpha Kat Zingano. She's been having... I don't quite know what's been going on. Right. Last time I saw her, she had lost to Juliana Pena, and she didn't look quite like herself. And turned out she had... I don't know if she has an injury or a medical issue. I'm not sure what's going on with her, but it sounds like she's finally getting healed up and that she is going to be coming back and fighting. And I would love to see, talk about a tough woman, one who is super strong, can take a shot. That's a good fight. I would. That would be probably, in my opinion, one of the probably the toughest fight that I think Cyborg has ever had. Right there.
Well, referring back to her health, she was actually a possibility for fighting Cyborg at this most recent at UFC 214, but her health was still
right. I was going to say that's why she had. Yeah. Matter of fact, she was offered to fight her at 214. But she had to turn it down strictly because of health reasons. That's what I was saying. Like, I don't know if it's an injury or an actual, like, health issue. But, yeah, she had to turn it down. But she really, she's one of the few people that not only wants to fight her, but thinks she can win. Like, when I remember when Miesha Tate talked about fighting Cyborg. You know, it was kind of one of those things where, like, yeah, I'll fight her. I don't care if I get beat up or not. You know, Kat is like, not only will I fight her, I will beat her. You know, and like, at least like Tanya says she's going to go in there and she's going to try to win. There's a big difference between saying I'm going to try to win and.
Well, Kat says she has. Plan that yes. She has the answer, that she's got the strategy to take down Cyborg.
Yes, and so she truly, I mean, she's one of the first few people that I've listened to that really feels confident that she can beat Cyborg.
Which you need because Cyborg is a beast.
You have to. I mean, that's one of my big problems with watching a Cyborg fight, with the exception of this Tanya Evinger fight. Every time you watch you walk in the ring, it's like. It's not, oh, is this going to be a competitive fight? It's like, how long will she last? You know, and it's, you know, and you can tell when they walk out, it's like, this fight's already over before they ever walk in the octagon. It won't be that way with Kat. Not whatsoever. Also, I do like the concept of Cyborg with Holly Holm. I think... The same problem that Holly gave Rhonda, she would give to Cyborg, and that is the footwork. She has world-class footwork that can put her in great situations, and if you slip up, that high kick that she knocked Rhonda out with, mm-hmm. she could knock Cyborg out with.
Which would be crazy if she did the same thing.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
I don't even want to think about if she derails Rhonda and then turns in and just scraps up a Cyborg. What is she going to do then? Drop weight and go after Ioana?
Hey, speaking of Ioana and that division, which we were talking about earlier, and I kind of jumped the gun and went to break. You had wanted to talk about another fight in that division, which took place the same night as the Tanya Evinger Chris Cyborg fight.
Yes.
And I just trampled all over your dream.
It wasn't really it's kind of funny. I can't remember their names right now.
I can help you out with that. So it was Alexandra Albu and Kaitlyn Curran.
And what was the result?
The result was unanimous decision, 29-28. And for Albu.
It was a good fight. That was another fight that was a really tough, gritty fight. It was definitely entertaining. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I definitely thought Albu would win. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing her again.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of this was the fight that kind of started off the night. But that was a great card. On paper, it just didn't look good, but...
No, that was UFC 214. That was a good card.
Yeah. Oh, this was on 214?
Yeah, because it was the same night as Cyborg and Evinger, remember?
Yeah, it's been...
Yeah, everything's kind of blurring together.
I'm watching way too much MMA. The fights are blending together here. So, But anyway, what else do we have here?
So we have a whole bunch of, you know,
what's in the news?
Newsy news kind of stuff. So let's talk about The Ultimate Fighter, shall
okay,
we?
Okay,
let's they
do
are
that.
Having a new season, and it is a women's season.
Wait, before we go to The Ultimate Fighter, do you want to take a break before we go to The Ultimate Fighter and then come back?
Sure, let's take a break and make people wait for our discussion on The Ultimate Fighter.
Stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
So, where were we before we went on break?
We were at The Ultimate Fighter, season 26.
All right, talk to me about that. And then,
so, it's going to bring a women's 125-pound division.
Which is the flyweight division.
Flyweight. And it will be crowning a new champion. I was trying to say crown and champion at the same time, and it was coming out chown, which is not a word.
All right, and talk to me about the candidates, man, or the contenders, or who the
right.
Or
you could even call them the cast. So we've got, the one name that jumped out at me was Roxanne Modafferi, who you've spoken about before. She's an Invicta. She is the Happy Warrior. If you don't know her name, you probably, if you follow fighting,
she's been around a long time.
No, I'm just the listeners will know if I say she's the one that always weighs in comic book character.
Yes,
you know, she tends to cosplay for weigh-ins, so that's a good visual for people who may not know who she is, but know who she is.
That's her thing. Never really been a big fan of that, but you know, that's her thing, and she enjoys it. So I, you know,
I was just giving a visual. I wasn't passing any judgment. I was just saying if you're not sure who she is, and I say cosplay, you'll probably be like, yeah, I know exactly who that fighter is. She's a Happy Warrior. And then speaking of comic books, we've got Rachel Ostovich, who tends...
Miss Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Tends to dress as Wonder Woman. And then a lot of names that I am not familiar with. You probably are more familiar with them.
Just go down and give us some of the contestants.
So we've got Ariel Beck, Deanna Bennett. That name sounds familiar to me. I should probably know who she is. Shanna Dobson. Ciara Eubanks, Melinda Fabian, Kareen Gavorgian. Thanks for making me pronounce all the names. Barb Honchak, Christina Marks, Roxanne Modafferi, Nico Montano, Lauren Murphy, Rachel Ostovich, Jillian Robertson, Maya Stevenson, Montana Stewart, and Emily Whitmire.
Now, Lauren Murphy, it's going to be interesting with her in there. Now, you know, when I think about this, and I think it's a cool concept to make the winner be the champ. I'm not a big fan of that. I personally think the UFC should have went a different route.
Now, I've never watched The Ultimate Fighter. I'm a little behind on some of this stuff, as you know. I'm new to this whole fandom thing. So how does it normally work? They don't normally have a champion at the end, I'm guessing?
No. I mean, there's been a number of different ones, but pretty much they all live in they all live together, and they compete until they get down to one winner.
Okay.
And this year we will watch it. We'll watch it together, because I know, you know, you didn't even watch when it was Holly Holm, and I mean, it was Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey.
I saw bits and pieces, and
yes.
that's... because of you, actually. You kept telling me about it. So you just keep sucking me back in.
But, you know, my big problem is when you look at this and you say, as far as the champion goes, there are, because of the fact that there's been this huge gap where you have a bantamweight division and a strawweight division, you have a number of fighters that are in that 125 division that are that have either had to go up in weight or go down in weight to actually, you know, contend. Like Jessica Eye and Paige VanZant and when I think about even Joanna Jędrzejczyk is naturally more of a 125-pounder. And then you have, like,
Karolina Kovacevic.
I just combined two fighters together, which I have done.
Well, I smushed up words earlier, so you may as well.
I meant not Karolina Kovacevic, but Valentina Shevchenko. I think she's a normal. She's really a 125-er. I would have rather have seen them say, you know, which the fight that almost happened when Amanda Nunes had to drop out her fight.
Mm-hmm.
I say have the Valentina Shevchenko versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the 125 title. And then the winner, they get the 125 pound title. And then the winner of the Ultimate Fighter gets a title shot. I don't think they should come out and get a title shot. I mean, get the title right for winning Ultimate Fighter, because I personally think the top 125 pounders are already in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I have a problem with that. So I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It does seem a little odd to be doing it this way, and I understand that they're trying to generate interest in this new division and, you know, the new weight class and those sorts of things, but you are right that there are women who have had to go either up or down in weight because they didn't that there wasn't that option before. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes and what comes of it.
Yes, it will. It'll be interesting. I think you know, it'll be a interesting show. I will definitely watch it. You know, even when I think back to, you know, like another fighter, Liz Carmouche. Liz Carmouche, I think, you know, will, even though she may not have been, she hasn't really been contending for a title in the bantamweight division. I think she'll eventually go down to that 125 division. I think she'll be a serious threat in that division. So there's, you know, it's going to be interesting. I tell you, whoever comes out of this and they win the title, man, I do not feel good. I mean, I feel for them because they're going to have their hands full. I mean, they're really, really going to have their hands full here. So
you definitely think that once that division is created and they have the champion and then it becomes a regular
the featherweight division. The flyweight division will fill up. There's enough fighters right now that's going to bleed over into the flyweight division from that are, like I said, like Liz Carmouche and all those guys.
Okay.
That's going to kind of go down in weight, and there's going to be some people like that's going to go up in weight. So that 125 pound division will be stacked, and it'll be a super entertaining division. Also, it sets up a situation where now you could literally have a women's mixed martial arts super fight where you could have the strawweight champion, because Joanna has talked about how she would love to go up to fight for that 125 title, but you could have the strawweight champion fighting the flyweight champion. You could have the flyweight champion contending with the bantamweight champion. You could actually eventually get some major super fights in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing how things are going to turn out with that.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier when we were talking about people who could go up or down in weight, you mentioned both Jessica Eye and Paige VanZant, which is interesting because...
That's called... setup.
Foreshadowing. They
Faux
are
show. Oh, it's foreshadowing.
Yeah, I totally just lost my train of thought. They are scheduled to fight, and if I could get my computer to work, I could tell you when that is scheduled to happen.
All right.
You want to give me some filler? Because my computer is not working.
Technical
issues over here.
Here's the thing about this. Jessica I is going to come down and wait. And once upon a time, Jessica I was considered one of the most dangerous flyweight fighters in all of women's mixed martial arts. I think she was rated the top flyweight in the world at one point in time. And then you have Paige VanZant, who naturally feels like she belongs in that 125 division. And so both of these fighters have agreed to fight. So they're actually... One's a straw weight, one's a bantamweight. They're fighting at a catch weight, which is that 125, which is going to be both of their new homes. I think I pretty much covered everything on that one, didn't I?
And my computer's still not working. So if I could give you a date, I'd be so happy to give you a date.
I do
apologize for not having that in front of me. I am trying.
You gotta go with the flow. I tell you, now when I look at that fight and when I think about it, you know, Paige is coming off of a loss to Michelle Waterson. We haven't seen her in a while, so I'm looking forward to seeing how she bounces back from that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious also when it comes to Paige about how...
We haven't seen Jessica in a while either, have we?
Or has Jessica, she saw... I am not sure. Let's see. I got to remember. When was the last time I saw Jessica I? I'm going to look Jess...
I'd love to look that up for you, but I can't.
You know, not a problem. I cannot remember... I think Jessica's coming off of a win. Who does she beat? Let's see here. I'm going to... Do you mind typing in Jessica on my computer here? Mm-hmm. So we're actually looking up Jessica Evil Eye right now and seeing when's the last time she fought. So she's going to be fighting at UFC 216, which is going to be... That's going to be coming up... When is 216? I'm going to look and see when 216
This whole segment is cracking me up because we're like, when is that?
So they're expecting October 6th is when this fight's going to take place.
Okay, and then it says, let's see, I thought it said I, oh, no.
Okay, but yes, so... We're looking at that for October for UFC 216. And I don't, it's not that important to look at when, Jessica I.
Right. So let's talk about the fight itself. So How do you think it's going to play out? How do you think these two match up?
You know what? That's an interesting situation where, when you start looking, when you look at it, even though Jessica's going to be a tough fighter, I think she's going to be the bigger fighter. She's going to be the stronger fighter than Paige. I don't know why I keep thinking Paige is going to win.
Well, it looks like, from what I'm looking at now, Jessica's coming off a 4-loss streak.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And she hasn't fought in a year?
That sounds about right, yeah. Wow. That's why I was saying it was a... It's been... she fought... it's been in UFC 203, right?
September 10th.
Yeah, that was UFC 203.
UFC,
yes.
UFC 203, yep.
But you know what? This is one of those situations where when you look at Jessica I...
It means she's had a good break. I mean,
yeah,
depending on how that works.
It's one of those situations where I feel like the four-fight losing streak is not as fair as... I mean, and it's not as bad as it sounds. Number one...
Well, she lost to Miesha Tate, so...
Yes, I mean, she lost to Miesha Tate. She lost to Juliana Pena. You also have Sarah McMahon, who has righted the ship and is now coming on like gangbuster. And then you have Beth Cohea. So, you know, it's not like she's lost to nobody. She's fought some very tough women in that loss. And also, I think she's a better fighter at that 125 where, you know, she's not going to be the smaller fighter now. I think she's going to actually her real weight class. And so I could see this being kind of like a rebirth for her, because this, I think she'll be way more competitive as a flyweight than she was as a bantamweight.
Okay.
So, all right, what else do we have?
Well, I have one more thing, and that is some speculation, actually.
Ooh.
Yes, I know how you love some speculation.
What are we speculating about?
We're speculating about Ronda Rousey, who has said she is... she's created a website, and that there, so her fans can follow her. You know, we haven't seen her much. We haven't heard from her much, but she says she's creating this website and that there's going to be some big news being announced on it soon that hasn't been announced. But of course the speculation runs wild. So let's just jump in there with it.
Okay. So I know I've heard all the speculations, from the website. It's going to be stuff about, you know, she's already announced that she's engaged to Travis Brown. So it's going to be wedding photos and getting ready for the wedding and all of that. I've heard speculation that, that it's her big announcement is going to be that she's retiring. Speculation that she's pregnant. But the one that I think has truly legs,
it's the one about the chickens, isn't it?
What the heck are you talking about?
I saw a headline. It might not even have been real. Something about Ronda Rousey and chickens, raising chickens. I think it was.
I have no clue. I had no clue what you're talking about. What is that speculation?
I have no idea if Ronda Rousey wants to raise chickens or not. But, you know, if she wants to retire and have babies and
I am loving this chickens. Reality show, Ronda Rousey, you know, on the farm.
See, you know, we just make up reality shows here at this podcast. I just throw stuff out there and see what kind of reality show you can make.
I can see her getting mad and punching a rooster and knocking him out.
Poor rooster.
He ends up laying an egg, and roosters can't lay eggs.
Whole new meaning to the word bantam.
Wait. Yes. That's a horrible joke.
I know,
go sit in the corner and think about
it. Marty in the corner. So, okay. What do you think is the most likely speculation?
But the most the rumor that has the most legs is that Ronda Rousey is going to announce that she is joining the WWE and she's going to be a WWE star, which I think is the perfect move for Ronda.
And we've actually talked a little bit about this before, and you thought it would be a great move.
I do. First off, Stephanie McMahon has openly talked about how they would love to have Ronda Rousey join the WWE. Two, Ronda Rousey is a huge star, and it's a nice progression where, you know, she can still be very competitive. She has the drive. She loves the WWE. I think it's a perfect match. I think she could make a comeback and be a contender in the UFC, but why do that when you can go to the WWE, make millions of dollars, and do fake fights instead of real fights where people want to kick you in the head?
And doesn't she already have some WWE sort of crossover things? Like, her nickname is Rowdy, and that's from a reference to a WWE
Rowdy
fighter.
Roddy Piper.
Right.
And then
she's part of that group, the Four Horsemen, which is based on the Four Horsemen that's also
WWE. That was
WWE.
Ric Flair, Iron Anderson, Barry Windham, and Lex Luger. Or you can go to any combination of the Four Horsemen. And then also she was with The Rock at WrestleMania a few years ago, so there's definitely a connection, and I think it's a good move.
I agree. I think it would be a very good move, and it would get her back in the spotlight a little bit. It would get her back out doing, you know, you said fake fighting, but still doing something that's in that realm of what she loves.
It's kind of what she's known for. You know, and no disrespect, but her as an actress, I wasn't really a big fan of her acting, but I think she would be, I think it would be really interesting. I think that, you know, Vince McMahon, and the McMahons can really write a fantastic storyline around Ronda Rousey. You know, she's, you know, I when they talk about, like Dana White said, Ronda Rousey is the UFC's Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a perfect fit, and I love it. I think that's, yeah, the way to go.
Okay. So that was pretty much what I had for stories. Is there anything that you can think of that you wanted to talk about that we haven't covered?
No. I mean, as far as women's mixed martial arts goes.
I mean, okay, let me just throw this in there. There's nothing else happening in August.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? Well,
no, it is not.
It's because of Mayweather-McGregor.
Well, but you have two giants yes. that are going on in August.
But they're men. We're not going to talk about them on the women's podcast. What are we going to talk about for the next month?
We'll talk about Cyborg punching somebody else in the parking lot or something. Which, by the way, there's something else that we're going to talk about.
No charges have been filed on that yet.
There's no charges that have been filed against Cyborg, and I don't think there should be any charges filed whatsoever. But when you're talking about August, August belongs to the NFL. It's, you know, that's when.
That's definitely not in our realm of women's MMA podcast.
No, it is not. You are correct. But that's when you're thinking about media events, that's when all the training camps start. Everyone's focusing on the NFL and Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, and that circus. So, you know, this is that point where there's nothing going to be going on until after Mayweather McGregor goes on. So
that's the end of August. So we've got until the very first part of September.
But, you know, there's a lot of news and a lot of fights that will be announced, and we'll be here to talk about those and all the news that's going
and
on.
There's Invicta in August, correct?
There's an Invicta event in August as well.
It's here in California, I believe.
That's right. We're supposed to be going to that one.
Yeah.
So we will be talking about Invicta. We'll be talking about other news and things that are going on in the women's mixed martial arts world. Once again, I'm Tate.
And I'm Sarah.
And thank you for tuning in to the Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. And to all, have a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.